Good morning, good afternoon, or good night. I'm your host, Adrian Conway. Welcome to another episode of Rise and Pod. Today, we are going into some things, some standout performances that we saw at the CrossFit Games. I've already hit you guys with an episode that revisited the programming. I kind of gave my thoughts on the programming and the layout, but today I specifically wanted to sit back a little bit and I wanted to kind of look at the leaderboard. And as I browsed the leaderboard, I wanted to pull you guys into what I saw a bit behind the scenes, what I see from a spectator perspective, and obviously what I see as an analyst of this sport. And I'm not talking about crunching numbers per se. Numbers matter. History matters. Fitness, of course, matters. But what also matters is the psychology of these athletes, their presence, their attitude, the way they execute on the competition floor. All these people that are taking the floor at the CrossFit Games, whether it be an individual, an age group, a teams athlete, they're all balancing and dealing with many things that go unseen to the public eye. And they also go unseen to a media perspective. I mean, they keep a lot of the things that they go through and or experience throughout the course of a year, whether it be injury, setback, emotional setback, challenges away from the gym, challenges within the gym, drama within their cadre, right? Their team that they're associated with or get tutelage by or get coaching from. There are so many ins and outs of the way this game of CrossFit is played at the sport level. I really wanted to essentially dive in again to basically what I saw. So it's a little bit of this, right? The question, one of the biggest questions is, does this year's CrossFit Games have an asterisk by it when it comes to the women's side? Tia Claire Toomey being the six-time defending consecutive CrossFit Games champion, the fittest human in history. She set out this year because she had a child. And Laura Horvath was crowned the fittest. She took first place. Not to many's surprise, right? I was one of them. I picked her to win. That's who I thought was going to win. And she won. But we also have to bring up the absence of Mal O'Brien, who took second place last year. So with number one and number two gone, where does this leave the discussion for Laura Horvath? Was it validated? Is there an asterisk by her name? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to cut out all the fluff and I'm just going to tell you exactly what it looks like from a competitor's perspective. There's an asterisk by her name. There's an asterisk by her name and it should light her up like you wouldn't believe. Should she be tremendously fulfilled by this? 100%. Should she be, had she achieved a lifetime achievement this year in 2023? 100%. But let me be clear with this. Each and every time this gets brought up in history, if this is the only time, the singular time that Laura Horvath wins the CrossFit Games, it will always be said, yeah, that was the year that Tia didn't compete. Yeah, that was the year that Mal didn't compete. And we don't even know if Mal's going to return and what that looks like for her and what an ETA is or what her future looks like. But we can definitely say that because of Tia Claire Toomey's absence, that's going to get brought up each and every time. Now, I'm not saying that that's right, folks. I'm not saying that that's wrong, folks, because history matters, statistics matter, the field that you're competing against matters, and there are going to be people that jump to conclusions and say, Adrian, it was her choice to have a baby. You know, this happens in a woman's life and in her career. That's right, it does. Good for her and great for her family and for her husband. Awesome. Don't take anything away from that. And that was her choice. And yes, that was a life decision. That was a business decision. That was a career decision. But let's not forget, Laura Horvath was a champ that year. So do we nullify the discussion that if Tia was competing and if, like, that speculation is just never going to go anywhere? I'll try to avoid it the best that I can because I really do want to lift up Laura. I really do want to lift up Emma. I really do want to lift up Ariel. The women that were standing on top of the podium first, second, third. But I cannot deny that the fittest to ever do it was absent for one season. And that's the only season that we know of right now within the last seven seasons that she wasn't the champ. Now, a lot of this discussion will be formed as we look forward into the future, right? So Tia Claire Toomey, She clearly is gaining her fitness back. She's clearly already verbally committed to wanting to compete as an individual in 2024. We'll see if she can make it through healthy and do it in a good process, right? There's a lot of things that have to be considered when you're postpartum and returning from carrying a child and giving birth to a child. With that being said, the odds are against the field tremendously if she comes back after taking a year off. Let me say that again. These women who have been training perhaps could have gained a year of experience on Tia. Perhaps could have gained a year of filling weaknesses and filling voids on Tia. Perhaps. But I'm also here to say to you that when someone is the best in the world at something, they get an opportunity to do something that actually creates a deeper why and even more fulfillment for them. Oh, and rest their body and maybe put some time, effort, and energy into prioritizing getting healthy, working on weaknesses themselves, and just slowing down their life. And then they get to sit back and watch someone else take what they deem as their own title. That's a dangerous situation. And I'm not saying, hey, Tia Claire Toomey's definitely going to win in 2024. But here's what I'm saying. If Tia competes in 2024, she winning. And I just don't think the field's as strong to threaten her yet. And yes, that includes the defending champion, Laura Horvath, who I'm a huge, huge fan of. She's a part of Team Rad. Shout out Rad Global. Right now, not even close, best shoes in the game. But I have to give this year an asterisk. And that's all I wanted to cover on the women's side. I mean, Emma Lawson did what she did. She showed me that she has the capacity to win the CrossFit Games, but she ain't there yet. What impressed me most was her Olympic total. I wasn't surprised by the bike, but again, your ability to just come out and test one and take it, amazing. Her ability to win intervals, amazing. Her and Emma Carey to go 1 and 2 there on intervals, scary for them. The youngest athletes in the field that can suffer some of the best. And when technicality isn't a measure, when strength isn't a measure, and they can just go out and suffer better than everybody else, that's problems for the field. Problems. And if you haven't listened to other podcasts of me talking and running my mouth about this, here's the one that you can brace for. These girls are going to get stronger, very stronger, very stronger. Is that a thing? And they're going to get more skilled, very skilled, very skilleder. Okay. They're leveling up big time, folks. And it's just the way it is. They're going to be quote unquote dogs, as we like to call it in the traditional ball sport field. You're a football player and you're a baller, dog. Basketball player, you a baller, you're clutch. When the clock's running down, you make big plays in big ways, dog. Emma Lawson, Emma Carey, dogs. And there are several else in the women's field. It's full of dogs. This whole sport is. But boy, those two, dangerous. Ariel Lowen, mother, showed up at Granite Games 2 years ago and was like, hey, I was just happy I showed up here. Then she won it. Then she went to the CrossFit Games. Then she went back to the CrossFit Games, and now she got third. Dog. In the most endearing way. Absolute savage. Let's cut to the men real quick before I start running my mouth too much, too long, say some things that are going to get me in trouble. Jeff Adler took the CrossFit Games title this year. There ain't no asterisk by his name, boys and girls. There ain't no asterisk by Jeff Adler's name, guys. Hey, guys, the asterisk, that's not by Jeff Adler's name. Or is it? You see? This could work both sides on the men's side. And I'm not taking anything away from Jeff. Again, Jeff is the champ. Jeff put on an onslaught of continual consistency, and he flexed his engine, and he did it in a way that was, oh my gosh, almost offensive in some of these tests. The second in the cross country 5K to Yella Hossa, who won it, and then this is the moment, right? And I'm gonna get to why I say there's an asterisk or could be an asterisk by his name, but let me tell you something. He beat the field so bad on Helena, that's basically when he won the CrossFit Games. Because it was before Roman got busted up. It was before we knew he was actually out there running his mouth a little bit to Roman in the field, like having that kind of swagger and confidence. Okay. It came after he already had some less than optimal performances on like the pig chipper and inverted medley. And then he went first place on Helena, 756.58, where he literally let off the gas on his final run. Didn't need to send it because he was smoking everybody that bad. Each year there are moments, right? Each year there are moments. Okay, we think 2 years back to like Justin Medeiros passing Pat Vellner and Brent Fikowski in that run clean ladder that was there in the Coliseum 2021. We think about 2022, perhaps Justin really taking a better chunk, not a big chunk, but a better chunk out of Ricky's lead in 2022 when he beat him in the in that chipper outside after the Coliseum, or not the Coliseum, but the Capitol run. It was the chipper outside with like ring muscle ups and they did burpees over the log or the box or whatever it was. But he came from behind, walked him down on the final lunges, which were like front rack fat bar lunges. Okay. But those are moments like that, like they're glimpses of like, ooh, that was a snapshot in time. Well, Jeff Adler had that snapshot in time on Helena when he absolutely put on a clinic, a pacing clinic, and a capacity clinic, where we know that was very much a run test. It was 50-pound dumbbells. It was bar muscle ups. Everybody in the final, he was going unbroken. They were doing their thing. It was a run test, which is what it's supposed to be. That's what Helen's designed to be. So anybody that got a problem with that can check up on the benchmark and understand its full intentionality and what the makeup of the test has turned into and what it's been. And that's what it should have been. They did a good job with that. But that was the moment for Jeff. Jeff put on a clinic. Jeff reinvented himself. He's one of Chris Henshaw's personal athletes this year, which if you know anything about the coaching space and Chris, he's limited in regards to who he's willing to spend a lot of time with and invest in as literally a personal athlete of his. And he worked very closely with Chris this last year, and maybe beyond that. It might have been the last 18 months or so. And you know, there are things that I know and I've heard, but just personally, from what I'm going to say, is that he learned at a pace. He learned how to specifically come into a competition with a level of confidence that left him feeling untouchable. Jeff Adler did that. I'm going to say that even after events like a 25th place on Pig Chipper, 15th on, what did he get 15th on? The inverted medley, that he executed this year, other than those two tests, in a 5th, 7th, 1st, 4th, 7th, 2nd, 1st, 8th, 8th, 2nd. I mean, that's just disgusting. You're like, guys, that's like, there's not many people who have won the CrossFit Games that come in like that. And it's similar to what Justin does, right? Justin is consistent across the board historically the last 2 years. But Jeff gets the W's. And I think that's really one of the differences, is that you got two test wins, that are kind of like an exclamation point when it comes to momentum that can be created. And of course, an opportunity to bank some points that are very valuable when you're competing against a field of men that second place was Patrick Vellner, third place was Roman Krennikov. After sitting out and getting zeros on the final two events, or getting last place on the final two events, he was still able to stand on top of that podium, which is ridiculously impressive. Then we got fourth place, Brent Fikowski, doing professor things. Part of me wanted to see him on the podium, but also I was rooting for Roman. Just because of the way he had that setback. And of course, we know he would have gotten second to Jeff Adler had he been around and stayed healthy. Now, the debate that is popular is, hey, would Roman have won the CrossFit Games? And I'm going to tell you guys right now, to me, no, he wouldn't have. And I know I might have mentioned this in another podcast, even talking about the programming, but he wouldn't have won the CrossFit Games. And I know Roman. I love Roman. I'm rooting for Roman. But this year, the way that Jeff was coming for him, the way this is a complete opinion on my part, but I'm telling you right now, he wouldn't have won. I was there. I was under the tunnel. I was in the back. I was outside, like all these places. I got to spend a lot of time with the athletes in because I was there as an analyst for ESPN. So that was like my role. I was basically in the back kicking it with everybody, the guys and the girls. And you watch things like body language. You watch the swagger. You watch them with their coaches. You watch them with their people. And Jeff was hunting. Jeff was literally hunting all weekend. He was focused. He was very clear on what he came to do. And I think that as tests started to get announced, he knew exactly what he needed to do to be where he wanted to be. And he executed at a very high level. I got to say that even if him and Roman are shooting it out to the final test that Jeff takes it this year, and I think it's very close, but I think he does. Not to take anything away from a healthy Roman, because we know that he has the capacity to be the fittest man in the world. I just don't know if it was going to be this year. But I want to talk about something even more particular. I think, you know, we got this young man coming up from the rankings. I'm biased towards him. He's a 21-year-old. He finished fifth. That's Dallin Pepper. You know, Dallin is a hard worker. We saw him as a teen. He's a 3-time CrossFit Games teen athlete. He stuck around high school. He played his senior year football. He played baseball. He did a lot of things that, you know, I think set himself up for success at this point in stage in his life. He stayed to the grindstone, qualified for semis and did some semis in his years in between going back to the CrossFit Games, punched his ticket as an open rookie last year, moved down to Florida with his coach, Matt Torres, and the Brute crew. And he's doing his thing. He's a man beyond his years. He's very mature. He's a married young man at 21. And a lot of these things seem irrelevant to people, but I'm going to tell you right now that someone that mature in life has a huge advantage against all these other young bucks that are 21 years old walking around, you know, just working out for time. Because responsibility is a crazy thing. And when you start to grow up a little bit faster and you have some things perspective-wise, the chips start to fall in your favor when you kind of keep first things first. So nonetheless, I think he's going to be a huge threat for the podium next year, no matter who shows up at the CrossFit Games. Yella Hosta, what an amazing rookie outing. He's a big rig, a big boy, big body, played field sports, played jujitsu, or does jujitsu. He's 28. That's definitely older on the rookie side, but nonetheless, gonna be potential for doing some great things as long as he can punch his ticket back to CrossFit Games. And I say that because his body frame is a bit of an outlier. So semifinals for him is always going to be something that he has to really be peaked for and prepared for in order to know he's got the capacity to make it through the skill set challenges against the field, right? You get him to somewhere like the CrossFit Games and he gets top 10 because so much of it's running based, so much of it's outside. We're covering large loads, long distances quickly, and a lot of it's played outside of the frontal plane, not just up and down movements. You get to online qualifiers like the quarterfinals and even semifinals. You get there on that stage where the competition floor is just a small floor, and sometimes that favors the smaller athletes. So it depends on the test, but I think Yele, after having this year of experience, will be able to do some really cool things and have banked now knowledge and experience and will catapult him forward. Last thing, the person that I want to highlight is Bailey Martin. Who absolutely just balled out. You know, he finished 12th this year as a rookie. But we've seen him at the CrossFit Games before. He's only 23, so he's 2 years behind where Dallin Pepper is. And to have these young men in the top 15, I think really shows some really great signs. But nonetheless, the story of the whole test and the whole week was our boy Justin Medeiros. Okay, now Justin Medeiros, the 2-time champ, just never looked like himself. Never did. Never did. So what's the question? The question here is he done? Is he done as a champ? What's he need to do? What happened to him? And I don't think he's done, but I think that he could be. And I think he's only 24 years old. He's a baby, right? He's got a lot of growing left to do. He's still not even at his prime physically. He's not as strong as he's going to get. He's got some lessons that I'm sure he banked and learned this year, which are going to create some more fire in his belly and hunger. The one thing about Justin is that I always categorized him as the iron mind. I got to do commentary last year at the Rogue Invitational, and I said Justin has an iron mind. It forged his ability to come back from behind against Pat Vellner to win the Rogue Invitational. It's why we saw him be able to do things like win the CrossFit Games without even taking a test win, which is of course unheard of within our sport. And it's one of those things that is often overlooked, but he was just consistent. But this week he was pretty consistently bad when it came to anything that was a huge, like a bigger metabolic stressor, right? When we look back at the test, we look at ride and we know that he took a couple spills and that certainly set off his mindset and affected him in such a way, but it was 29th on that. Then he came back and he got 37th on the pig chipper. He did get second on the inverted medley, which was an awesome showing. It was very impressive to see him do that. The alpaca redo. An inverted medley had no metabolic distress, right? It was all upside down. It was all balance. It was all skills. It was a 4-minute race where athletes never really got out of breath. Now, alpaca redo, I picked him to win it. Okay. And the reason I picked him to win is because I know he did well last year, but I know that he's a man that gets after legless rope climbs. Like he's good up and down a rope. He's very confident at semifinals with legless rope climbs and a pretty high skilled test. That's where he really made his final charge and put an exclamation on that weekend and showed us, okay, Justin's still Justin. He just might not be in the shape that he needs to be in yet or focused. So he got 7th on alpaca redo. Not bad. Top 10 for Justin. Like that's where he needs to be. Then he goes ski bag. Ski bag was to me, and this is, you guys can say what you want. You can think what you want. Justin taking a third on Ski Bag was one of the most impressive performances of him the entire week. I don't know if talking to Adam Neifer, his coach, or if the rest of his camp would agree with this, but to me, this was Justin. Like, when I saw him get third on Ski Bag, I got to interview him after that, and I saw the move that he did. If you guys don't know how this works, is there are certain segments of the floor and certain flow of the test. You got to adhere to rules within the flow. You got to step here to do squats. You got to carry your bag at this point. You got to do all these things. Justin made a savage move where he stepped barely into the box that he needed to be squatting into, where the other athletes advanced towards the middle of the box. And I don't know if Justin's judge was not clear about this point, or if he just took advantage of this judge's inability to like draw a hard line, but it was an amazing choice. Justin started squatting, just a little bit, like, you know, right at the edge of this line. And as he does this, he passes Pat Vellner. Pat Vellner finished this test in 455 and got sixth place. Justin finished his test in 451 and got third place. That is the move in the mind of a champion. We see Tia Claire Toomey do stuff like this all the time, where she maybe sets the kettlebells down or the dumbbells down earlier, or she carries them a little further, but they're always looking at ways to create advantage for themselves against the field. It's not wrong. It's not cheating. It is the way you've got to compete, particularly in this sport and space when everyone's capacity is so close together. Nonetheless, Justin gets third on his test, and to me, it was squat heavy. It was, of course, pull heavy. It was a high power test, only 451 on the overall time, but it got a bit metabolic there. And it you know, if I could compare it to anything, those of you that didn't do this test or workout similar to this, if you're listening to this podcast and you're foreign to the stimulus of our space and our sport, this is like running, you know, 1200 meters really, really, really hard. And trying to pace it just right. Like, it hurts. It hurts. Nonetheless, again, very impressed by this third place vet move. At this point of the weekend, I was like, oh, we're five tests in. Justin Medeiros is back. He's ready now. He's in fighting distance. He's in striking distance. And then all of a sudden, and I don't know, could this have played in his psyche? His girl, Ellie Turner, they're in a dating relationship. It's public knowledge, right? She experiences an injury to her lower back. I know Justin was in the back trying to help her navigate this, going even into the Ski Bag after he had taken the test. So he had taken it, then the women were going to take the floor. Was her knowing that she was going to have to withdraw affecting him emotionally, mentally? I don't know. Perhaps. How would it not, right? In some way, shape, or form, how would it not? You think about someone that you love and care about. They're going through a little bit of a hardship. It's going to affect you. We're human. Even if Justin Medeiros is the iron mind. But he takes 30th, folks. 30th on Helena. So now already, we're now six tests in. On three of these tests, we got a 29th, we got a 37th, and we got a 30th. And they are on the most metabolic test that we've seen so far. Again, I said Ski Bag I was impressed with. It was a shorter power output version. Justin's been training his strength. Justin's been working with a strength coach specifically. He kind of follows a conjugate method, like West Side style template with his strength work, where he probably maxes out a lower body lift twice a week or once a week with some speed work another day, maxes out upper body lift once a week with some speed work another day, mixes in CrossFit all around there, probably provided by Adam Neifer, probably does interval work on top of that and skill work, right? But we know that he's particularly paid attention to his strength work. But 29th, 37th, and 30th and only three in, that's problems. We advance forward and we go to the 5K. Justin does what Justin does on this, 15th place. I think that's kind of a fine place for him to run, but this is where we've got to have some awareness of the field. So when you look up above him, look above him now to who's handling business the way that they need to be handling business. Jeff Adler got second on that, the 5K. Pat Vellner got 10th on that, the 5K. Roman Krennikoff, third. Brent Fikowski, fifth. That's our top four. Top four, all top 10. Justin's 15th. There's something there that shows me where he needs to put his focus over the next year. Building an aerobic capacity, conditioning his legs to be a better runner. And again, this is not linear, folks. I'm not saying, hey, Justin's a bad runner. That's not what I'm saying. But right now, I'm up until this point, seven tests deep. He's got to focus and prioritize his aerobic capacity. We get into intervals, 19th. That is outside of where Justin Medeiros is doing Justin Medeiros things. That is not normal, especially on a traditional CrossFit workout, especially on one that involves pacing and strategy and self-awareness and grit. He can do those things very well. He can do burpees. He can do box jumps. He can row. That's all this test was. Out and back. 19th on that was not Common Justin. The Olympic total, 15th, Common Justin is where we expect him. He hit some solid lifts. It looked like he had a little lapse in focus there on a clean and jerk. But like he should be a top, probably top 12 athlete in the total. But he doesn't need to go get a dub on that. He doesn't need to win that test. That's fine. Muscle up logs. Now, when we get to this test, the weekend's over for him in regards to he knows he can't get on the podium and he knows he's not going to win for sure. So let me tell you what this does from an explanation standpoint as an athlete. You're just going to finish strong and you're going to do your best and you're going to let your best be enough. You remove all the pressure and you just go do you. Justin Medeiros finishes the CrossFit Games going 6th, 9th, and 3rd. That's Justin Medeiros. So I go into all this from my experience as a competitive athlete, and I go into all this from my experience as a coach. And I look at a couple things and I say, Justin, you're not done. Justin, you got the capacity. But you almost have to erase this year from your memory like it's your job. I don't want you to taste this year. I don't want you to think about this year. I want us to pretend that this was a year that didn't exist. And we're going to go back to the drawing board and we're going to build you an aerobic base that is dangerous and violent from scratch. You're going to run and you're going to run a lot. And you're going to lift and you're going to lift a lot. And you're going to do CrossFit because CrossFit is the CrossFit Games. However, you're pretty good at doing mixed modals. You're pretty good at doing, 6 minutes to 10 minutes, 6 minutes to 12 minutes. But you're going to be running. You're going to be putting in that aerobic work. You're going to be putting in the longer conditioning sessions. We're going to continue to make you as strong as an ox. But what I want to see next year is that when there's a running test and it's predominantly a running test, you're going to get top 10 on it. And people will disagree with like this type of approach or even this type of conversation because they're going to say, Adrian, it all comes back to CrossFit. It's constantly varied. But there is something about this, right? And the game has changed. Okay. Rich Froning, he could get whatever he got in 2014 on triple threes and come back and win at CrossFit Games. The field was not as well rounded as it is now. The sport was not nearly as professional as it is now. It's a very different game. But if you want to come back and be competitive, you got to do what Jeff Adler's done. You've got to reinvent yourself. You got to understand where your strengths lie, and you got to lean into your weaknesses, and you got to do it with an attitude and with a tenacity that is going to build confidence in everything that you do. And you know what? When people are talking about you, like I'm talking about you right now, or when people are talking about you on the CrossFit Games podcast or on ESPN or on anyone's podcast that exists, you can't care. And you know what I'm going to also encourage you to do? Get off YouTube. I don't care what sponsors are out there telling you to share your life and share your stuff. Don't. Go to the shed. Go back into the old shed, the small one, and grind. And get hungry and know that there's a chip on your shoulder and pretend that you're a nobody again. Because to me, that's when everybody's the best. I want to say that Matt Frazier nailed this with his career. I think Rich Froning nailed this with his career. I'm serious. Go back before 2014 and see how much footage you see of Rich. You see somebody walking around with a phone trying to capture him stuff. They're trying to get him out there and publish his stuff and get him going. Rich could have been making more money than he was already before he stopped competing as an individual. But to me, he strategized this in the right way. He didn't want to be completely public. Matt Frazier nailed it to a T. You gotta stay in your bag. You gotta stay focused, even if it's for a short time. And that means you burn it down and you win 5 CrossFit Games and you're done. Like, but whatever it is, like you gotta stay focused and everything else is a distraction. I think we see it on the women's side, Tia Claire Toomey doing a good job of it. But also it's like the team that she has around her is so good that she's still just in her bag. She's still just focused on training and everything. And yeah, I got to give Tia a shout out. She's amazing on the camera now. And socially, she's done a great job. But we've also seen her change tremendously. If you go back and look at who Tia was in 2015 and 2016, the self-talk that was going on, the way she would talk about herself as an athlete, all these things, like, wow, it was almost strange, right? She was so hard on herself. She didn't believe in herself. And now you think about that younger woman and look at who we see now as the 6-time champion. It's night and day. But I think that some of these athletes are toeing the line closely. If they want to win, if they want to be champs, look, Jeff is now the CrossFit Games champ. We'll see what happens to him. We'll see what sponsors are going to be like, hey, Jeff, what you need to do is go get in your bag and get on social media and get on YouTube and get all these hundreds of thousands of followers. It's like, nah, man. Miss me with that. Go stay hungry. Go stay in your bag and go win the CrossFit Games again. Keep your team small and keep moving. You can rack up all you want in a few years, but you got to get you a few before that. Anyways, wanted to give you guys my overall feedback of the CrossFit Games 2023. There's some momentum is high, some momentum is low. We're going to fight and scrap because we got another year coming up. Already looking forward to 2024.